All right, welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio. It is Friday. How exciting is that?
Weekend.
Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! The weekend's the best because it's, the only time I actually get to sleep in.
Yeah, I always think I'm gonna fill up my weekend with all these awesome things, and I just end up just at home.
Oh, I don't assume I'm gonna fill my weekend with anything, but I get to just chill for, everything except for when I'm working.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, it's
This is
pretty
pretty cool.
exciting. Well, I am Ethan. Evan's here too, and we also have a special guest, Tomcat.
Hello.
He's
Howdy.
the
Oh.
editor of the paper here on campus, the Statesman,
This
the
is true.
Utah Statesman.
And finally, a name that people won't mix up.
Yeah. No, because on the morning show, you probably
Yeah,
never
fill me
listen to
in.
the
Fill
morning
me in.
show. Morgan sometimes confuses our names.
Ah.
Because
That's not
she'll call
great.
me Evan and she'll call him Ethan. Yeah, it's pretty
Come on,
entertaining,
Morgan.
So
Get
you're
right?
bringing some good sound
I mean, we
diversity
look the same too. We're about
to
the same height.
our
I mean, we're like almost identical, and so I
Twinners,
can
really.
understand why
Yeah.
she would get us mixed up.
That's fine. I don't think that's true.
I was being
Yeah,
sarcastic.
I assume that. I don't know if that plays through the radio. People who can't see maybe don't catch the sarcasm there, but.
That's why you're here to, to let everyone in on the secret.
Man, if I'm the voice of reason, then we're in trouble. Just
That is for sure.
Then we
That
are in
is
trouble.
definitely a questionable thing.
Okay.
But anyway, we're gonna dive into a few things today. We want to talk about the NHL expanding. They're gonna expand
Woo!
next year to Las Vegas, and I don't know how I feel about it. Because I mean, it is exciting for Las Vegas to have a sports team, and I feel like Las Vegas probably should have had one before now. But I don't think hockey was the way to go for
Yeah,
the first one.
hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we're getting into that now or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about Vegas.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, announcing that Las Vegas would be the 31st franchise for the National Hockey League, and I'm kind of the same way. I don't. Wasn't really for it. I think. You know, Las Vegas just isn't a hockey town.
Well, I
to me.
mean, that it's
I
in the
mean,
desert.
yeah, it doesn't really get winter. I mean, in the sense of, you know, other places that actually like hockey.
Like, it doesn't get winter in any sense,
Yeah.
really.
Not at all. I
Yeah.
mean, in the winter, like, the coldest it gets is like 60.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, they had issues with when they moved to Arizona with the Coyotes. They used to be in Canada, in Winnipeg, the Jets. And then they go to Arizona, and they don't have a built-in fan base because who that
Nobody.
lives in a desert is gonna like be a fan of hockey or know anything about
Yeah.
hockey? That's not something you can just go out and play or something you get your kids involved in because it's winter and that's the best option.
Yeah.
It's a desert and it's hot, so I mean
to
it's
play
never like
devil's
that.
advocate, if you're living in the desert, what better place to go than a giant refrigerator, basically?
I mean
Yeah.
that'd be
Right?
great, but also I mean like how available is that to everybody? And
Well,
that's
yeah,
where
I
I'm
guess
going
that
with it,
maybe.
is just that
Yeah.
like for America at least, every kid can go out and play basketball. You can get with your friends and play football. You could go play soccer, but like hockey in the desert, like there's not a ton of availability for
Yeah.
it. I mean, if you're by an ice rink, then maybe you can get a team together and schedule a time, but I mean, odds are that, I mean, I don't know for sure because I don't live there, but I
Yeah.
don't think that there are very many ice rinks
Yeah.
in the
Well,
desert,
I
like in
also think
Arizona or in
well,
Las
I
Vegas.
think a part of the problem though is that basically there were two applicant cities for an expansion team. It was Las Vegas and Quebec City. Quebec City has already had an NHL team in the past, and they've got a brand new arena that they built to try and get this. And so I don't know, and that comes with a built-in fan base like you're
Yeah,
talking about. And
exactly.
so I was kind of surprised by that because, you know, they built the whole new stadium for that purpose. They're crazy about it there. And I mean,
Yeah.
I think it's a money thing obviously because
Oh,
Las Vegas,
obviously.
much bigger market. But I think this goes back kind of to the 90s when the NHL just expanded so quickly that it all went to areas of the country where there really isn't a built-in fan base for the sport. So
yeah, and I mean, I figure if the NHL is going to expand, why not expand it by two teams and keep your total number even?
Yeah.
I mean, because, like...
Well, I think the concern with that is you're diluting the talent. The more teams, the more the talent's diluted, right? And the NHL went decades with an odd number of teams. So they've proven they can, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's,
then,
like, annoying for us who, like, things to be symmetrical, but, like, it's really not that big of a deal.
It's got to be symmetrical, guys. It's got to...
I think that Vegas is actually good. I mean, the reason no teams have moved there, no leagues, is because of the gambling, right? They're all worried about the mob, like, you know, the Black Sox and all that. But it's not as big of a concern anymore. I mean,
You can bet online.
Yeah, you've heard Adam Silver talk about it. Like, they want to make it gambling part of NBA broadcasts and stuff as we go into the future. And having a team in Vegas is good for the NHL because there's money, right?
Yeah.
There's a big population, a new market that they can expand into, televisions and whatnot. And then you just think of who's in Vegas. I don't know what the number is, but what percentage of people in Vegas at any given time are not even residents. So you're going to have out-of-towners come through. And
but, I mean, if you're coming into Las Vegas from out of town on your vacation, do you really want to go to a hockey game? I mean, unless you're an avid hockey fan, you're probably not going to want to go there. I mean,
well, think.
There's lots of other options that are more enticing.
For me, it would depend on ticket prices.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, but you can bet that those are going to be expensive.
Well, then is that bad?
Maybe not at first, but...
If they're expensive, that means they're getting sold.
Maybe.
So then it's good for the league.
I think initially it'll...
And if they're cheap, then you're going to get people like me who are casual fans who would stop in and...
Yeah, I think financially it'll be good for the league, at least for the first little bit. But I think if it ends up being another Phoenix... Or just kind of tapers off, I think that'll be a problem. But I always thought it would have been the MLB that would have moved a team there first. Because I remember they were thinking about the Marlins back a few years back. And I always thought an MLB team would have been moved to there. Because I don't think the MLB is ever going to expand after 32 teams. But I definitely thought they could have moved someone there.
Yeah,
are you telling me baseball is resistant to change?
Wait, what?
Sounds ridiculous.
Sounds confusing. No, I expected that the NBA would be the first team that would end up in Las Vegas because they do All-Star Game there all the time, and like they just
And UNLV basketball is so huge.
When we went to the Mountain West tournament, there were a lot of UNLV fans, but it seemed like there were more San Diego State fans. Even though, there was still a good number of UNLV fans, which was, I thought was a little bit surprising. I didn't figure anyone in Vegas actually went to the games there, but they had a decent number.
Yeah.
But really, like, I think that Vegas, I mean, they could have just waited because I think the Raiders are going to end up there in a couple of years.
See, now that's the interesting one to me.
And I feel like the Raiders would fit perfectly there.
You'd get more people going to the Raiders games.
Yeah.
If the NFL... Well, my understanding is Oakland's been pretty supportive. I don't know attendance numbers, but like, if the NFL moves to Vegas, the other leagues are right behind them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, no one's going to make as much money as the NFL because...
Oh, they would.
So many people, like, love the NFL, like, more than anything. The NFL makes way more money, I feel, than, like, the other sports.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a bigger market. I mean, obviously, the Super Bowl is an event. The finals... obviously are pretty big across the country, but I mean, I don't feel like it's anywhere near the same as the Super Bowl.
It was some crazy number about how much money the NFL gets, and it was like the other leagues combined was what the NFL brought.
It's not quite that much, but like it's a ton.
It was some
they're
huge
far and away
number.
The highest American sports league earner.
Yeah.
I think international too. I think that it includes even like the Premier League and
I feel like they probably would make more money than them. Like, I know that those are really big in other countries and
they're
stuff,
huge.
But, like, here you got all the television deals. I feel like soccer doesn't have great television deals, like, where they're always on.
I mean, it's still growing in the United States. Internationally, it is. Sky Sports does a lot of the...
Yeah.
And it's huge in international.
But, I mean, like, is it the same as, like, say the Super Bowl? You have to pay, like, millions and millions of dollars for, like, a 30-second clip.
Well, I mean, a billion people watched the World Cup final in 2014.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I get that, but the international definitely gets a lot more attention because it's always like it's like my country, like they have to do well. Yeah. But as far as like regular leagues, I feel like the NFL probably out-earns them
for the regular leagues. Yes, I mean the Champions League final I think was that they just had was more, but that's still like all the best teams in the world playing together, like cross league.
Yeah.
For one individual league, I think the NFL outpaces all. That's my understanding, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I see it. And maybe that's just my American bias, but I feel like we spend the most money on football over anyone else in soccer.
Americans spend a lot of money on sports. But back to Vegas, though. I personally think it's good for the NHL. There are concerns about having a consistent fan base, because for the team to actually survive, they need to build that. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they go about developing a fan base, cultivating one in a city so diverse with people coming in and out constantly.
Yeah, and the Eastern Conference already has two more teams than the West, and so that's the concern for a team like that would want to go to, like, say, Quebec City, is that you're already in the area where the conference already has more than.
But just send Detroit back to the West side.
Yeah, either Detroit or Columbus.
Yeah, I mean,
because I thought. I don't know why they needed to be put. I think it was realignment to make cities closer together.
But. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because they're like over half, like they're on the eastern half of the country.
Yeah, it's Eastern time zone and all that.
But for me, it's like that would be a simple fix, because then they could go back and have the rivalries that they had before. Like with Avalanche Chicago. And Chicago.
Yeah.
Like those guys, they don't even get to see them that often anymore. And they're like big rivalries. So that wouldn't be a problem in my mind. I just have a problem thinking that they're going to be able to have long-term success in Vegas. I'm sure they're going to have plenty of success for the first few years because it's new. It's like, I'm excited. We have a team now. But after a couple of years, they're going to be like, well, this is no longer new. It's no longer exciting. Mm. And that's the thing about it. Unless you're devoted to a sport, you kind of – things get old for you. Like, you don't – get excited by stuff that.
Well, especially hockey is like that, because especially it's like hockey. There's people like me who are super into it, but it's definitely not as popular as the other three big sports, you know, because it's geographically it used to have to be pretty limited, you know, anyway. And I think obviously it's one of the big four, but it's the littlest member of the big four, you know, so.
And that's just
the issue of it becoming like another Phoenix or another Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
They're just there, you know?
Yeah. They just don't really do anything. And I mean, just kind of the punching bags of other teams.
They probably could have just moved, in my opinion, I think they could have just moved the Florida Panthers to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That would have solved it.
Could have done that and then given Quebec a thing, because I know Florida's already got Tampa Bay, Lightning, who've
been to two Stanley Cup finals, you know.
Yeah.
So.
And like they seem to have a pretty good fan base, and they've been around for a while, so like they've built the fan base there, but I mean, I feel like at this point, I mean, that was back when hockey was more popular throughout the country. Like now it's kind of lost in popularity because people are more focused on basketball and football.
Yeah.
Which in my opinion they rightly should be, because I think they're a lot more fun. I know. I mean, don't get me wrong. Hockey looks like it's fun to watch.
Yeah, but it's.
I get way more into the other ones because, I mean, I grew up playing them, and also they're more exciting.
Well, yeah, and hockey can be pretty low scoring depending on how good.
It's kind of like soccer. Are. Yeah. I mean,
a little bit.
Unless you are actually like care about the sport, like it's not fun to watch. And for me, like I like soccer and hockey both. Like I said, not as much as the other two that I mentioned, but for someone who doesn't necessarily care about the sport, you're not going to stick there and watch it and try to figure it out because it's kind of boring, other than when in hockey when they get in fights.
Fights.
I mean, that's definitely the thing that hockey's doing right.
Oh, yeah. The checking and the hits.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the best part about watching hockey is watching people just like have these awesome collisions.
Yeah, and then they just get up and keep playing the game, like, you know.
And then eventually tempers flare enough that they fight.
Yeah.
Like, they throw off the gloves and you're like, yes!
And then when they go, and then when they're done, they just go back, you know, a few penalty minutes and nobody they get gets back suspended. On and they're fine.
So. That's great, but I mean, it doesn't happen enough for a casual fan to keep trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what do you mean it's offsides? Like, the defender was behind him. Yeah. I mean, he was across the line before the puck got there. well, that doesn't make sense in soccer. It's this or whatever. Yeah. So I just feel like the Tampa Bay works because it was more popular back then. Florida, they like put them in, and it wasn't really a thing in that area.
Well, then there's teams like Anaheim and LA that have gotten solid fan bases, but that was over years and years of you know, and the LA Kings, obviously, they've been to Stanley Cup finals, and Anaheim has won it, and so.
And plus, I mean, the thing Anaheim has going for them is they're the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the movies that, like, they referenced them and stuff. And
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, that was, growing up, like, I didn't really follow hockey that much, but that was one of the teams I knew about because of movies.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, the Mighty Ducks. And, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tommy?
I don't watch that much hockey. I'm swimming in the deep end. If you notice how quiet, once we stopped talking about Vegas, I was like, all right, I'm out. I got no more opinions. So,
yeah, I guess going back to Vegas, with the whole NFL going there, I think that the Raiders would be a good fit there. I know that people in Oakland love the Raiders, and I know that the Raiders love Oakland, but they're not connecting on a deal or whatever. And they still have the 49ers are right there, like the same region, just like across the bay. Or even, is it even the same side of the bay now? Because, I mean, they're not in
it's
Oakland,
in Santa
obviously.
Clara, it's like, isn't it like an hour outside San Francisco even?
I don't think it's
But it's
an
a
hour,
stadium
either
issue,
way,
isn't it?
It's pretty close.
Like,
yeah, it's a stadium issue.
That's the root of the problem is the stadium.
Right.
Yeah, the Oakland Coliseum is super old.
Yeah, O.co.
Well, they O.co dropped it, like dropped the sponsorship because they didn't think that the Raiders are going to stay there long term. So,
I don't think they should pay for a stadium though. The people.
No, I don't either. We talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. That I feel like in most cases, like the owners can easily pay for stadiums because they're making billions of dollars every year, and I don't see why the public should fund something that is for a private organization. And without getting into that too much, I mean, you can give a little spiel if you want.
That's a conversation for different. I think there are times when it's situational. Like the Jazz have done a lot for Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Salt Lake's a better city because the Jazz are here. I mean, and I especially like the deal that they worked out with these upgrades, that, like a tax cut essentially for the Jazz. I think that's a smart thing for the city. It doesn't cost the taxpayers any money, right? A city like Oakland, I don't think they need the Raiders to be a real city.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not part of their... L.A. doesn't need to pay for a stadium, because L.A. doesn't need a professional sports team to, like, be recognized as a city, right?
Yeah, I know.
I see, like, Salt Lake, like... Trying to think of other examples. Would benefits from it.
Oklahoma City.
Well, didn't...
Yeah.
Well, on the whole stadium thing, didn't the Raiders... Weren't they passed up, like, by the Chargers for who might share the L.A. stadium?
L.A., yeah. So, the thing
so
is...
Like,
right
so
now,
obviously
I mean,
it's the Rams.
The Rams are in there. Like
they're going anyway.
Their plan was approved.
Yeah.
LA is going to help subsidize it,
to
my understanding.
Then it's like
the Chargers have a year to decide if they're going to go join them. And
sense.
I think the Chargers will end up staying in San Diego. I think they'll work out something.
Yeah.
So they have a year to decide. And if at the end, like the beginning of the next, like the next year for the NFL, like so after this season and during at the beginning of next offseason, if they decide if they're going to go or not, and if they decide not to go, Oakland then has the option to go to LA. But I don't know why you would want to go and share a city with someone. Like, I mean, when you have the option to be in your own city, like I feel like that would be a better option.
I mean, both teams moved away the same year, so it's like obviously they both didn't like. Necessarily being, I mean, obviously there's other stuff going on
but
they didn't seem to like being in the same city anyway.
Yeah, and I don't think it's necessarily about the teams themselves involved in it. I think it was just a money issue, and I think that the Raiders, to me, they belong in Oakland, or I can see them fitting in pretty well in Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it just seems to like be right in my mind that they would be in Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, you could Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, Raiders, they back in the day, they would steal people's ships. There's people's stuff,
gold,
people's goods.
Yeah.
And Vegas steals all your money, so, I mean, it fits perfectly.
There's that pirate show in Vegas.
Yeah, just Seamless. Seamless. They're practically the Las Vegas Raiders already.
Right.
They're just in Oakland.
Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing about it, and so I think it's funny that Oakland is like, yeah, we'll pay $500 million towards the stadium in Las Vegas if we can move there. But it's like, that's all money that the league is going to loan them.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
This but is the thing about it, another good thing why I think that it would be great for the Raiders to go to Las Vegas is because the people in Vegas, they can afford, like the rich guys, they can afford to pay for a stadium. And it wouldn't be a problem for them because they're going to make money off of it.
Are they the ones that are going to pay for it, though?
They're
subsidized by the taxes, wouldn't it?
No. So they have like this like group of guys in Vegas that like all these casino owners, like that they were talking about how, like they're gonna raise the rest of the money or whatever to get the $500 million from the Raiders, which is from the league.
Yeah.
And then all these casino owners, like they're gonna chip in the rest to make a stadium, and it's gonna be like shared with UNLV. And so.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so like to my understanding, it wouldn't be anything to do with the tax. Like, I don't think that the city would have to pay for it. But, like, there's just those citizens who have way more money than they would ever need.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to help pay for it. And I think that would be great because, I mean, they're going to make more money because, like, more people are going to be going there for games because...
The Raiders do have money. They might actually get money now.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of Raiders fans, which is surprising. I mean, I figured they would taper off, you know, after... You know, about 5 years of losing, but I mean, going on like 10 or so now, they.
Oh, it's more than that.
Yeah,
2001 like 15, was the last time they made the playoffs.
Like 15 years of losing, and they still have lots of fans everywhere. And they got lots of fans in Los Angeles, and that's just a couple hours from Vegas. Like, people go there for like the weekend all the time from Vegas or from Los Angeles. And so you got all those fans that are going to come into town, and where are they going to stay? At the casinos. And so it's going to help out the guys who already have casinos. Plus, I mean, they want to have a football team. Everyone wants to have a sports team in their town. I mean, if we had an NFL team in Salt Lake, that'd be awesome. But I mean, I don't think that'll happen anytime soon.
Uh-huh.
It would be years before that would happen in my mind. Because I mean, we got great support for the Jazz, but I don't feel like we would have enough money to lure anyone here for anything else.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think that the Raiders would be a good fit for Vegas. I think Vegas would be a good fit for the NFL because I don't think the taxpayers would have to.
Is there a bad fit for the NFL?
The Raiders? Or the taxpayers?
No, like the NFL.
You said yeah, okay, got you.
Vegas would be a good fit for the NFL, but, like, is there a bad fit? They can just go where they want and print money. Like, the NFL, no matter what they do, they succeed.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they better not leave the country as far as, like, going to, like, Canada because.
London?
Yeah. To me, I don't think that those, like, I don't think they should expand over to, like, London or whatever, because...
That's a 7-hour plane ride just to get to your nearest divisional rival.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's so unpractical.
And then if you have to play a team on the West Coast, I mean, that's a ridiculous travel.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just not viable in my mind. It's fine for them to do this whole thing where they play a game or two every year.
Yeah, but filling up an exhibition game...
Yeah,
you know, that's totally different than getting fans in the seats consistently for, you know, at least 8 weeks.
I mean, for me, I don't think they would necessarily have a problem with that. I think that they have developed enough fans overseas that they could have them
living there. Even
that they could get fans consistently, but the issue is just logistically, it would suck to be that team or to go play there.
Travel though.
Yeah, it's expensive travel, but I mean that's not an issue for. The league, because they're, like he's saying, they're printing money anywhere they go. But logistically, I mean, that's going to wear out a team to have to go back and forth from America to London. And then all the teams that have to go to London, like the next week, it's basically like they're playing from Monday to Thursday. Like, they're going to have a shortened week because of the travel, and also it's exhausting to travel that far. And to do that every week would just... I mean, no one would want to go to that team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they could, like, you know, come up with a way to get a development league back in Europe, I mean, that would be a good idea. But to have a team that is in the NFL, I just don't see it as being viable.
Yeah. I mean, it's our game, so it's like it's great that people in other countries follow it, but I don't know. I still think our focus should, you know, it's our game.
Yeah.
So teams should be based here.
Yeah, and I'm all for
the problem, like, from the league perspective is like the American market's pretty saturated football wise. Like, you're not really making that much more money here. There's a whole world, literally a whole world of possibility. Yeah. And it's not like the NFL has shown a great measure of concern for their players or their fans or people involved, right? Like, they don't care as long as they're getting money. That's all that
they're insulated from.
I think totally fine if, like, they want to have each team in the league play one game that's in a different country. Like, they can make tons of money off of that. Like, they could go and just go to the biggest stadiums in other countries. That we were talking about this Monday about the size of different stadiums for soccer. Like, you could go and fill up, like, 100,000 people. Like, you could get 100,000 people at a game. Because it's like, you know, one time a year we're going to get a chance to go to a football game, like American football game. And so we're going to go because, you know, reasons. Sports.
Sports.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they would make money that way. But to move a team permanently, I don't think it would work at all. But like I said, they could do a development league. But I want to jump into the NBA right now. There is some... this is what Tommy's been waiting for.
This is what I'm here for. It's draft. All this other stuff. Going for the ride, but I'm here for this.
Yeah, obviously, last Sunday, the Cavs beat the Warriors.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's just talk about the draft.
I'm just mentioning it because I have to...
It hurts.
Because I have to do a couple entries to the Wall of Shame. Oh. And this goes to the two best players.
I'm not sure what the Wall of Shame is.
The best scorers. The Wall of Shame, every time on the bullpen, we have players or coaches, just people involved with sports, that do something stupid.
Yeah.
And they get on the Wall of Shame because they did something stupid.
Great.
Or they, you know, didn't show up to a game. Okay. And today I've got three entries. Mm. One is kind of a re-entry, just because I want to re-bring it up to show just how... Yeah, how often I don't really feel like trusting Stephen A. Smith on what he thinks is correct.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, who am I going to put in this? I think you get me to it.
So, like, Stephen A. Smith, after game two in the NBA Finals, said that the Cavs didn't have a chance to win the Finals. And right after that one, we came on and I was talking. I was like, you can think that they're not going to win, but you can't go out and say they have no chance to win, because that's only two games. Almost all the time, the home team wins the first two games. Almost always.
No.
When you have a good team. And he comes on, and, okay, maybe it's not almost always, but it happens a lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it happens enough that it's a conversation. Now, it's like 70% of the time they win game three, but the majority, more than 50% of the time, they go on and lose game four, and the series is over.
No.
So most of the time,
no. But what I'm saying is
down 3-1.
Yeah. What I'm saying though is that the home team will usually win on their home court for the first couple games, a lot of the time.
Okay.
And he goes on. He says that the Cavs have no chance of coming back and winning. And it's just like, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe they don't come back and win. But you can't say they have no chance, because they could run off four wins right there.
Well,
I mean, it'd be really tough. Obviously, it was a tough path for them to get the W on the series, but they still did it. And so I just think it just bugs me when analysts say that a team doesn't have a chance to win a championship when there's still a lot of time left.
Yeah.
Like last year with the Broncos, it was Deion Sanders on the NFL Network. Went on mid-season, the Broncos lost two games in a row. And he goes on and says they don't have a chance at winning the Super Bowl. So he says that they're done. Yeah, what do they do? They go and win the Super Bowl. Yeah. And so, I mean, if you think that, fine. But don't go on national television and
they're just trying say to get a team responses. Doesn't have a chance.
Well, I mean, you can go out and say, like, I don't see any way that they can come back.
Yeah.
But don't say they will not come back.
Well, speaking of Stephen A. Smith, I can't remember. I think it was on ESPN. ESPN.com where it was like some montage of him predicting it wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For like 6 years.
He predicted was, the winner of the NBA Finals wrong for the last 6 years. It was
like 6 years straight. Oh, yeah.
No, he's an idiot. Stephen A. Smith is a moron.
Yeah.
Right? As someone who has an interest in sports
yeah.
and considers myself somewhat intellectual, I am offended when Stephen A. Smith talks. Like,
see, that's why I was going to put him on the wall of shame if you weren't going to. Because I was like, if nothing for the 6 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like I could,
but he's always yeah. saying these like things that make no sense or just really dumb. Yeah. Like,
you're getting my blood pressure.
Tommy said it. Like, I mean, I think it all the time that he's an idiot. Like, yeah. I don't really trust what he says hardly ever. Occasionally, I'm like, yeah, what you're saying like actually sounds good this time. Oh. You know, good for you, Stephen A. Smith. But then he goes on and says all these stupid things like all the time. Also in the Wall of Shame. I have Steph Curry because
I will fight you right now. I will fight you
in Game 7.
I will.
This
fight
is
you.
Really why you brought him on, just to like go down the list.
No, I'd forgotten that I was going to put these ones on because I put these on like Monday morning or Sunday night or something.
Just say whatever dumb thing you're about to say, and then I'll defend it.
Is that he went 4-14 from the 3-point line and finished with 17 points in a crucial Game 7? Like he was the unanimous MVP this year, but he really didn't show up offensively, like, and he didn't help his team to try to win that Game 7. Klay Thompson, similar thing, 2 of 10 from the 3-point line and 12 points. Like, Draymond Green was the only one that showed up offensively for them, and I can't stand Draymond Green because he is a bit of a punk.
Hydra crotch.
Because he's always... <I'm just kidding. laughs> Because, I mean, he's always, you know, talking up the team, which, I mean, they were a good team, but I feel like they got cocky real quick. But I mean, I didn't like all of his antics that he was doing with like hitting people in the groin like 6 times during the playoffs.
Just twice.
Okay.
As if that makes it better. No, I totally get why. I totally yeah. get why people don't like Draymond.
But I mean, but like, that's why it makes sense. Like, I think Curry and Thompson are both great players. I'm always impressed with how Steph Curry like handles himself. Like, he's always polite and professional. Like, after the game, he was telling them congratulations. I was disappointed with Klay Thompson because he, like, the game was over and he wasn't back in the locker room, like, immediately.
Can you blame him? Like, what would you do?
I mean,
well,
at
like,
least,
we
like,
stay here, we talk about, like, how they should act. Like, that's, like, the most painful experience of his life, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, to
like,
be that no, close to winning it and then
to be there, to go through all of yeah. that. And then you lose. Like, I don't want to talk to the other team. Like, if it was me,
I get. But I mean, at least just go and tell them good job, and then go. But
like,
I mean,
if I'm playing FIFA with my roommate and I lose, like I lose, I put down the controller and I say it's better if we don't talk, and I leave. And it's like it's nicer if I do that than if I, because I'm just like furious. I cannot comprehend how it would feel to lose in that situation.
An actual.
Well, I mean, like I couldn't right. comprehend it either because be better I'll never really left. Be in that situation. But at the same time, you know, this is kind of a similar thing with Cam Newton, where like during the season, during all the winning, you know, Klay Thompson is more than happy to like point out that they won or whatever, but
yeah.
he avoids any kind of like response when they lose, and it's better than him just like being rude to anyone for sure, but I feel like he could at least like tell that like a couple people a good job before he left. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I
just think it's. Like, does Cleveland need that to make themselves feel good? Do they need to hear Klay Thompson say,
it's not about that. It's just about being a good sport. And apparently you're not a good sport when it comes to FIFA.
No.
I get pretty mad when I lose in, like, Madden. So I get it. But, I mean, at the same time, you're paid to be, like, a representative for your franchise and for the NBA as a whole. It was better than, you know, throwing a tantrum on the ground. Or leaving in the middle of post-game press conference. Draymond Green, he left too initially, but he came back. So I was kind of surprised by that, but also I thought it was really good.
The thing that bothers me is, and I'm not like pointing fingers at you, but a lot of times in the sports world, we say that we just want these athletes to be real people, you know? And, like, they give these canned answers in their post-game press conference, and like, you do the coaches' interviews, and it's just like a waste of everyone's time, right? They're just just the cliches and stuff. And we're like, oh, we just want to be real people. And then they do something like that that's like a real person thing. And then we're like, oh, what are they doing?
Then we don't
they need
like
to be
it.
An example.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get him leaving. I'm not putting him in the Wall of Shame for that. It was for his performance. I put him in the Wall of Shame.
That's valid.
But I'm not putting him in... Like, I understand being upset, but I just... I don't know. I feel like when you're so vocal when you're winning...
What do you think about Jarrett Smith not winning a shirt? Or not wearing a shirt?
I think that he's ridiculous. I think, like, it's kind of funny, but I mean, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Because isn't he also, like, a representative of the team?
So, yeah.
I don't like... Like, whatever, but I don't have a problem with Klay Thompson not talking to anybody. I think if... Like, it goes, you know, that's a thing that is also...
But, I mean, like, you learn growing up, like, that you're supposed to go, like, tell the other team good job after the game, if yeah. win or lose. And so I just feel like I don't think he needs to, like, stay there and, like, talk yeah. to reporters or talk to fans or anything. I just, like, tell guys from the other team good job, congrats, or whatever, and then go. Yeah. Like, that's all I'm saying.
That's yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But jumping into the NBA draft...
Yeah, let's talk about the draft.
Because we only have, like, 20 minutes, maybe less.
Dang it.
So, yeah, anyway, NBA draft. We're not really going to go through pick by pick. If you want to see all that,
no,
you can check it out online or whatever. There's tons of places to find it. But I want to talk a little bit about, I don't know, I feel like Ben Simmons is a great talent, but I think I would have gone with Ingram as the first pick just because of the character issues that I've seen from Simmons, like, He seems to think that everything should just be given to him. He doesn't seem to have a good work ethic. And maybe he'll change now that he's in the NBA, but, like, at LSU, he kind of gave half an effort at times. Like, he really didn't push himself to be the number one player in the country in college. Obviously, he's very talented. He's got lots of good skills, and... He has the potential to be a great NBA player, but with his character concerns, at least in my mind,
well, yeah, concerns. Mean, well, it's like, what was that award he won? It was like John Wooden Award? Was that the one he got?
Did he win the Wooden?
I don't think he got it.
Well, he was going to get nominated, and then they found out, like, he wasn't going to class or something.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't. It was academically he was ineligible.
For yeah, which is like, I mean, obviously, you know, he's playing in the NBA now, so it doesn't matter. But if we're going back to that so attitude
conversation,
thing,
I just think it's dumb that they have to go to class.
I mean, it was because his grades weren't high enough to be like to get that award.
Right, that makes sense.
It's like it's the best player on like the court, plus like they have to be doing a good job in the classroom as well. I mean, that's
yeah. yeah
that's
but if you're going back to that attitude or character thing, I think you know obviously he's in the NBA now.
To play devil's advocate a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it's hard for me to go to class.
Yeah.
And I don't have millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I have to wait a year because some rich old white people think college is good for me. But really, they don't actually care about that. They just want the money for themselves.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, I wouldn't go to class either. I'm not going to... Like, I would not. And maybe I have character concerns.
You do have character concerns. I will not be drafting
maybe
you.
I don't have enough work ethic.
If FIFA is any signal.
I will not be drafting you this year.
Yeah. You can draft and stash me. Grab me with a second-round pick. Let me go play in Europe for a year.
All right. Maybe we can do that.
Anyway, I understand where you're coming from with Simmons. Yeah. I have some of the similar concerns. I'm, you know, I play devil's advocate a little bit, but I am curious to see how he works out.
Yeah, I mean, he could be really, really good, but he could also completely flop because of his lack of work ethic. And hopefully he fixes it.
Statistically speaking, if we look at historic trends, two of the top five guys are going to be all-stars.
And the other three are going to be duds.
No, one of the other three is going to be a rotation, like a solid starter. I think one of them statistically is rotation, and the other one won't be in the league in 3 years. Wow. Statistically.
Yeah. I feel like...
If I'm picking the two all-stars, I still think it's Simmons and Ingram. Right?
I think it's Ingram. I mean, okay, it's all it hinges on if... Simmons is going to work. But, I mean, if he's going to not work, if he's going to party or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's, you know, done any partying to this point. I haven't heard anything.
He's in Baton Rouge, so probably not.
Probably not.
I don't know. Maybe he had some jambalaya or something. Went to some jambalaya parties in Louisiana. But
anyway, if he's willing to work, I could, like, he's definitely should be an all-star.
Yeah.
I think that Ingram definitely should be. Another one that I think has a really good chance is Chris Dunn from Providence. You know, he's taken fifth to the Timberwolves. Like, I think he's in a great spot. I mean, the Timberwolves are suddenly look like they're going to be a pretty good team. Like, really young. They're not going to, you know, contend for a couple of years, but they got a lot of good young players. I mean, they got Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns.
Cat. I'm super excited to see Tom Thibodeau play Chris Dunn 38 minutes needlessly every night with no rest. That's going to be fun. But yeah. So
I mean, that's just what he does.
Personally, I have a ton of questions about everyone else in the top 10 after those first two. Dunn is one I think could work because he has an elite skill. Right, his defense, he can be elite at that.
Yeah.
Which is intriguing to me. I hesitate because he came out, I mean, he was a 4-year senior, right?
Yeah.
And before he got drafted.
And well, actually, no, he was a junior.
Are you sure?
I'm almost positive. I'm looking up right now.
Okay, double check, but my understanding was he was a senior.
No, he's a junior.
Was he a junior? Yeah. Okay, well, regardless, the concern that I have is when he was a freshman, he didn't contribute anything really. And usually that's an indicator. So, like, after he had 3 or 4 years of physical development and he was 3 or 4 years older than everyone else, then he dominated. That, like, if I go to a high school all-star game and there's a bunch of freshmen and then one senior and the senior looks dominant, like, I don't care because he's 4 years bigger and stronger and faster and everything, you know? So I think there are some really intriguing abilities with Chris Dunn, but, like, I don't think... The dude I think is going to be good after the top two is Jamal Murray, freshman from Kentucky. And I know people think he's, like, there's some size concerns or some defense concerns. Dude scored 20 points a game at a top five conference, right? Yeah. On a team full of McDonald's All-Americans. It's not like they gave him the ball because he was the only dude, right? Like, he earned possessions, scored 20 points a game as a freshman. Buddy Hield averaged 4, 5, 6 points a game as a freshman while playing more minutes than Murray got. Dunn averaged single-digit points while playing more minutes than Murray got per game as a freshman. So, like, when you compare, like, at their physical ability.
But, I mean, you can't just look at, I mean, how much they scored and all that. I mean, that is definitely an important stat. Yeah. But then you look at freaking, what's his name from BYU? Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was great at scoring, but he's completely useless in the NBA.
Yeah, but he didn't score as a freshman.
He was great at the college game, but then...
But my argument is he didn't score as a freshman. Because as a freshman, then you're the same age as everyone, so you come in at this... Like, you don't have any benefits because of your age, like physical benefits, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Like, Steph Curry... came out later, but he scored a ton as a freshman. Like, he belonged in the college game as a freshman. These dudes who develop later, Kaminsky last year, I don't think he's more than a role player in the NBA. His success came later in his career. Now, there's obviously going to be exceptions periodically, because there's always exceptions.
Yeah.
I just think that... But, as far as Chris Dunn is concerned, there was talk that Chicago offered what's his name? What did I forget? The guard.
Butler?
Yeah, Butler. There it is. Chicago offered Jimmy Butler and their pick to Minnesota for for Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn, and Minnesota told him no. Because they wanted to get rid of Rubio instead of LaVine. Now, after the draft, everyone's like, oh, it wasn't that close. But the reports were coming. I mean, and it was Wojnarowski. Like, I totally trust Woj, right? If that's true, if Minnesota turned down Butler because they wanted to get, because they wanted to keep Zach LaVine, like, that is asinine to me. That is insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading things today where the Bulls were like, yeah, no, we weren't actively shopping, and we were taking calls for him.
Of course,
but we weren't trying to get rid of him or anything. Which I think it would be dumb to get rid of him. I mean, he's the best player.
Yeah, I totally agree.
He's a great player.
That's why I think it's insane if Minnesota turned that down. Yeah. Right? Like, could you imagine, as a Jazz fan whose team is in the division with Minnesota, I'm so glad they didn't make that trade.
Yeah.
But, like, could you imagine that team with Butler and Wiggins and Kat and Rubio, like... That is an amazing team. I don't even care who your fifth starter is. That's a playoff team.
Yeah, it's a good team. For sure. I mean, especially because if you have Butler there, he brings the veteran leadership that they don't necessarily have right now.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've got lots of great young players. And they added Dunn, who I think is also going to be pretty good. Even if he isn't, like, an elite scorer, he's like, shown that he's able to see the floor pretty well, and he can set guys up. So they don't really need him to be a scorer. They've got Wiggins, and even LaVine can score, and Towns, obviously, is good down low at scoring. So, I mean, they wouldn't even need him to bring up the points. So I think they're going to be good, but it'll be kind of like the Jazz a couple of years ago where they have, like, lots of really good young players. But, I mean, so you know that they're going to be good in a few years, but they're just not there yet. And so I'm really excited to see the Jazz next year because
they're going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think that they'll probably end up getting even upwards to maybe the fifth seed in the West, maybe higher. But, I mean, they've got lots of great young players.
As long as they're healthy, like, fifth seed's theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got all these great young players, plus they added George Hill in the trade, which I thought was a good trade because I didn't think that there was going to be someone who could come in and make a difference.
You're not getting a dude that can contribute that much at 12. It's just not happening.
Yeah, and they go and get George Hill, who I think he's a great point guard. I mean, not great as in elite level, but he's like...
He's not an all-star. He's a good starter.
He's a good player.
And this we've had... I mean, how long has it been since we had a dude at point guard who would have played for anyone else in the league besides Philly? Like, last year... I mean, Shelvin Mack was Atlanta's third guard. It's not like Dennis Schroeder was lighting the world on fire is their backup, right? I mean, like, he's competent. We can argue that a different time. But, like...
Well, I mean, now he's their starter, so...
Yeah. I don't know what Atlanta's doing, but... But, like Raul Neto? Like, he would not have played. He would not have gotten minutes anywhere outside of Philadelphia in the league last year. And he started 50 games for us?
Yeah, that's... Like, that's what I thought was funny was...
holy cow.
I was reading a thing yesterday where it's like, oh, we got... Now they have George Hill and Dante Exum and then Trey Burke and Raul Neto, and I'm just like,
we still got Mac.
He's and Shelvin Mack, and I'm like, I don't feel like Neto sees the floor. Like, I mean, they can just send him to development league or trade him or just release him. He's not going to see the floor now.
Yeah. So I mean, if we want to talk about that, I imagine they're still going to try to shop Trey Burke, right?
Yeah, I mean, you should.
It's best for both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like he's going to be able to do anything for the Jazz.
No, I think he'll be successful in his next stop, and I've enjoyed him. He's brought some great moments.
Yeah, I mean, at times he's the only guy that could score it on days.
Yeah, those are dark days.
But he doesn't. He's not big enough to play defense on all these elite point guards, and he also, I don't think he's that good at defense anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just that he's physically overmatched, he's just not good at defense.
Oh, he's physically overmatched.
I know, I said it's not just that he's physically overmatched. Okay,
He also doesn't have...
Yeah, he also just isn't good at defending.
I see what you're saying.
So it's both, it's not just one, it's both. Yeah. And so
I imagine they'll move Burke. Shelvin Mack, he's got a $2.4 million contract, but the team has the option to pick it up or not.
I would keep it, he's a solid backup.
I think he's good. The argument, though... How will Neto, you've got him under contract for 3 more years at $900,000 a year? And is Shelvin Mack 1.5 times better than Howell Neto? Probably not. Right.
But at the same time, I don't know.
I like him, but he's not 1.5 times better. I think there's a chance the Jazz re-up him and keep 4-point guards. Right? Because you could play Hill as a 2-guard next to Dante, and you can move him around, so it's not like 4-point guards that can't play it right. You'd have a little depth that gives you something to work with, but I wouldn't be surprised if they decided not to re-up Shelvin Mack. You know.
Yeah. But. I mean, I can see it going either way.
Yeah.
I think because they invested in that trade last year, that they'll probably keep him. Because I mean, it wasn't a thing where, I mean, I guess they were trying to get to the playoffs, but it was going to be tough either way. They probably should have made it.
I mean, the thing is, they gave up a second round pick for him.
Yeah.
And that's not really anything, but it's almost nothing.
Yeah.
Like, 7% of second round picks become even rotation players in the league, which means 4 per draft if you do the math, right? So, like, all of these picks that were great value picks and stuff, like, four of these dudes are going to be NBA rotation players. So, like, they gave that up at a chance to make a run at the draft. Like, that's fine. Even if they don't re-sign him, like, it's... It doesn't matter.
But. That's true. One thing I do want to say is, like, I think that the Thunder did an awesome job yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. No.
I mean, seriously, trading
Ibaka.
No, that
was awful. They should go to jail for that. They stole from Orlando.
Like, straight up robbed
them. There's some yellow tape. Depot. The police should be looking into that.
Sabonis.
That was nuts.
You get, yeah, I mean, even just if it was, yeah, even if it was just Oladipo, that's an immediate upgrade for your two-guard position. I didn't feel like Ibaka did much for them this year.
He had, like, a few good games against Golden State, and that was mostly because Kevin Durant was just so good. It let him move around.
Yeah, right? I mean, but, like they weren't really using him.
Oh, my gosh.
They trade him, they get so much value, because I think Sabonis will be a solid player.
Yeah,
like, at the very least, he's going to be a solid rotational player.
Yeah,
I mean, he could even develop and maybe be a decent starter. Maybe.
Yeah.
He's going to be a good rotation player.
He's going to play. He's going to play for Oklahoma City. That's a great pick.
And Ilyasova, I mean, he's not great or anything, but that's another guy that can come in and get you minutes.
Stretch the floor.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's fine.
But, I mean, you get Oladipo. Oladipo is already pretty good, and he's got a lot of potential.
The concern is, I feel a little slimy. I've been playing devil's advocate a lot today. But the devil's advocate for Oladipo is he's not a great shooter, and he's been an inefficient offensive player. I mean, depending on the metrics you look at,
Wade. But, I mean, he's also been in garbage Orlando.
Right. He might improve. We'll see what happens. If he can't shoot better, that floor is going to be really clogged. In Oklahoma City. I mean, that's one thing Ibaka did bring. He could stretch the floor more than Kanter or Adams or Sabonis, right? Westbrook's not a good shooter. Oladipo's not a good shooter. The two bigs aren't a good shooter. There is a concern with that. I'm just to play devil's advocate, there is a concern with that.
I don't. But, I think that Westbrook isn't a decent, too good shooter, but he takes... Like, his shot selection is the problem. Is that when he's taking those threes, they're not necessarily the best time. He's but I'm also, saying, like, if he's spotted up, like, I think he can hit threes most of the time.
But
he just doesn't.
Like, statistically, for dudes that shoot as many threes as he does, he's in, like, the fifth percentile or something, meaning 95% of people in history are better than him at shooting threes for the number he's taken. Like, statistically, he's, like, literally one of the worst in history at shooting threes. for the volume he's at.
And I think most of that comes from him taking bad shots.
I think some of it is shot selection. I think he's better than that, but he's still not.
But, I mean, every time I play him on NBA 2K16, he always makes it.
If I'm
not right on him.
Well, that's super realistic, that game. But let's see. More stuff. Worst pick of the draft, Jaylen Brown. And a lot of times I'm like kind of hesitant to make like immediate reaction because we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. That's the worst pick of the draft.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, them picking there was horrible if you consider the offers they got. Right?
Yeah.
The rumor was, the Woj report was, Philly offered Nerlens Noel and Robert Covington and their two other first-round picks, who turned into Timothy Luau, who I think is going to be good. I think he's at least a player, right? A role player. And Furkan Korkmaz, who was my guy. He was the one I wanted the Jazz to figure out how to get back in the first round for. I think he's going to be amazing. But even if those don't pan out, like you're getting Nerlens Noel and Robert Covington, you're getting two proven NBA players, and... Like, statistically, the chances of you getting a guy who plays in the league after the top two picks, it's almost a coin flip.
Yeah.
So, like, did they turn down guys? And it's not like a year where, like, last year, it would make sense. There's, like, a bunch of guys. You're like, I think a lot of these guys can be good after the first two. This year, it was like, we literally have no idea. Nobody knows if these guys are going to be any good. So, like, just the fact that they picked there, I think was bad. And then they took Jaylen Brown. Kevin Pelton, ESPN's stats guy for basketball, does this ranking thing where he looks at players coming into the draft and uses their historic performance to project their wins above replacement, their WAR in the league. He's been doing it since 2005. There's like a certain cutoff point, and below that point, only one player since 2005 has stayed in the NBA, and that was Nick Young. So like you're basing your hopes on like Nick Young, like that's not great, right? So Jaylen Brown wasn't
not good
in
by any metric.
He wasn't in Pelton's top 100. Okay, he wasn't even like one of the top 100 players, and this thing has been pretty good at like predicting success in the league. And beyond that, he had a negative wins above replacement. He's three games worse than your average replacement player, like projected. Right? Maybe he proves us all wrong. And I want all of these guys to be successful. I have nothing against them. I hope he is. I just don't think he will be. I mean, if we're looking at history, like, there is no reason to think he'll be successful. There's no evidence. In fact, everything suggests that he won't be successful. They took him with the third pick. Woo! Oh, boy. Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Go Celtics.
Anyway, we're pretty much out of time now,
All right.
You guys have any closing thoughts?
Jazz are going for the fifth seed next year, and they're going to beat someone in the first round.
And
sorry, Clippers.
I guess I would just add, on the hockey world, congrats to Patrick Kane on being the first American to win the MVP.
USA. So, USA.
Yeah. Really?
USA.
Yeah, and the first American to get the scoring title. So
great, America.
How is this only just happening?
I don't know. I don't know how long they've had an MVP award in the NHL, so I'd have to look that up. But
I don't know either.
I don't know. Okay.
Cool.
But anyway, you got to go to SOAR.
Sounds good.
Anyway, I want to thank everyone for listening to
You're
the
welcome.
Bullpen.
Oh.
we'll be back next week. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Make sure you stay tuned because we got music all the time. And, yeah, have a good one.